Well, I'm going to read what some commentators have called the supreme passage of the New Testament, the greatest poem that we find in the New Testament. One writer even called it the centerpiece of the New Testament. And it's a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read from verse 5 of Philippians 2. Do please look at your Bibles as I read it out to you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, if you look at your talk notes, I've taken that phrase from verse 11, the glory of God. It is what the whole poem leads to. It's like the destination, the terminus. That's what it's all going to. And then what comes after is turning to something else. So the whole thing is about the glory of God. I'd like us to consider briefly, what is the glory of God? Well, the glory of God is God as he is displayed, God as he is revealed, God as he acts as God, and is therefore seen and known. When he does that, his glory shines forth. His glory really, I guess, describes his nature, his brightness, his radiance, his purity, his majesty, his magnificence. It also describes his honor, his reputation, his prestige. It is the excellence of God unveiled and revealed, both in his nature. He is the infinite, eternal God, the self-existent source of all things, omniscient, knowing everything, omnipotent, having all power. But also, it describes his character, his righteousness, his purity, his love, his kindness, his goodness, his gentleness, his faithfulness, his grace, his mercy. All these things about God are revealed as the glory of God. As God is revealed in these things, his glory shines forth. And today, this Easter day, I want to tell you that this glory of God is of the greatest possible advantage to us, which is why this talk is entitled Supreme Treasure. There is no greater treasure for us than the glory of God. This is not something of remote academic theological interest. This is something of immediate and pressing relevance and of supreme benefit. And Easter Day 2018 would be a great day to unpack this with you, and that's what I want to do. And I want to ask the question, according to this, how is the glory of God displayed? Well, we have to go to the Word of God. Don't worry about what I say. Let's worry about what the Word of God says. And if you go back to verse 9, we see, therefore, God has highly exalted him. You see, that was what was to the glory of God the Father, the one whom God exalted. So the question is in verse 9, why did God exalt him? And the him is obviously the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's just go back a verse. Would you look down, please, at verse 8? See the last words of verse 8. Death on a cross. According to verse 9, Jesus' death on the cross was the reason. That's why the therefore is there. Therefore means that is why. So because of Jesus' death on the cross, God chose to display his glory in Jesus' exaltation, or rather, in Jesus' cross. So the resurrection and exaltation of Jesus was God saying, I display my glory in the cross. Which is an extraordinary thing, isn't it? How could that display the glory of God? You know, the worst aspect of the cross, you can think of many terrible aspects. It was the most inhumane method of execution ever devised. It was loathsome, repugnant in every kind of way. And yet the worst thing about it was this. Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. The Bible taught that the sign of God's curse particularly rested upon those who were crucified. So when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was crucified, this teaches us he was under the curse of God, under the curse of his Father, the sinless Son of God. That explains, doesn't it, the central cry of dereliction from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? It was a God-forsaken experience of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was under the curse of God on the cross. And apparently, that is how God displays his glory. That is the high point of the glory of God. How does that relate to us? Well, let's go on. If we look at verse 9, we see, therefore God has highly exalted him, that means raised to the loftiest height, that is beyond measure, that is unique in every way. He has put Jesus, the one who was crucified on a cross that was under his curse, into a category of status that is unparalleled, that cannot be in any sense compared to any other status. It is above all. And according to verse 9, he has bestowed on him the name that is above every name. It's a name that outranks everyone. What is that name? Well, according to verse 10, it's the name Jesus. Did you know the name Jesus actually means something? At the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, this is what the angel says to Joseph, talking about Mary. He says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For, now here comes the meaning of the name, he will save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means the Lord saves. That's his name. It gets to the very heart of his role, his purpose, his destiny, to be the savior of his people. And the Bible teaches us from front to back that when that happened, the sinless Son of God was in his own body, voluntarily taking responsibility and paying for the sins of God's people. He was carrying those sins himself. He had no sins of his own to pay for, and so he was free to carry the sins of God's people and receive in his own being God's punishment, God's wrath on those sins. And at the same time, he accounted to his people his own perfect righteousness, a righteousness of a perfect life lived under law. You know, those closest to Jesus, having lived with him day and night for 3 years, could say, "This man is God." That's what they said. He was perfect in every way. And yet, on that cross, he suffered unimaginably so that God's people could be forgiven, could be forgiven their sins and righteously reconciled to God. So we've seen so far that this glory of God, displayed supremely in the cross of Jesus Christ, is infinitely precious to God's people. But I just want briefly to come back to the fact, how does this display the glory of God? And the fact is this, that act of Jesus Christ was incomparably noble. That's my next heading on the notes. Do you see, the cross of Jesus Christ was the culmination of an awesome self-humbling by the Son of God. Just look back, please, at verse 6. Do you see what verse 6 tells us? It tells us, though he was in the form of God, that really means, though he was by the heart of his very unchangeable nature and essence, God. He was and is God, the perfect God. And yet, he chose to cross that infinite gap. He was the creator. He was the one through whom the whole universe came into existence. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And he left that status as the supreme supernatural creator to enter creation, to become, as it were, a creature, and thereby to surrender all the privileges he rightly had as God, to empty himself of those privileges and become not just a man, but a slave, and not just a slave, but to die the most horrible death that could possibly be known and experience the most horrible thing that could possibly be known, which is to come under the wrath of God. Can you imagine anything more high stooping more low? It is not possible to do so, is it? There was nobody higher than the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no lower point he could go to than an agonizing death under the judgment of his Father. Can you think of anything more noble than that? Can you think of any display of greater character than that? Can you think of any expression of love stronger than that? Can you think of any display of courage greater than that? Can you think of any self-sacrifice that was greater than that? Jesus, who had everything, gave up everything. And what we're seeing today is that is the glory of God. That takes us to the very heart of the essence of God's deepest nature. The glory of God is an astonishing, unparalleled, awesome, transcending love that is free and undeserved, given at infinite cost to utterly unworthy people. That's not quite the end of our passage, because my next heading is, this is ignored at our peril. Just look, please, down at verse 10. He writes, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. He's talking about the surrender of all rational beings. And do you see those three categories? In heaven, that's the celestial category. That's describing angels and demons. Do you see the next one? On earth, that's describing the terrestrial category, earthly beings, we would say living human beings. And then under the earth, the subterranean category, we might say, and that's describing the dead. Everyone who has ever lived but is now dead. And this is telling us that one day, all those categories which embrace every single rational being will bow the knee to Jesus. It's describing what the Bible often describes, which is Judgment Day at the end of time. The very thing that actually we said together in our creed, he will come again to judge the living and the dead. No Christian creed has ever left that out. And the Bible pictures it as a great white throne, and the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on that throne, the exalted Son descending from heaven, and all the nations of the world standing before him and being judged and being consigned to an eternal, unchangeable destiny. You see, what verses 10 and 11 are describing is a division. You see, at verse 10, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That's actually a quotation from the Old Testament. Here it is. It's from the prophet Isaiah. Here is Jesus speaking. To me, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear allegiance. And what we see in the verses immediately following that verse is a divided reaction. Firstly, verse 24, to him shall come and be ashamed all who were incensed, that means infuriated, who were angry, who raged against him. Oh yes, they will bow the knee. They will confess his name. And at the same time, the next verse tells, all the offspring of Israel, that's the true children of God, shall be justified and shall glory. So whilst the rebels will be forced to admit that Jesus is Lord on this day, disciples will joyfully proclaim what they already believe and love, Jesus is Lord. Now I want to say that this is not presented as a threat in a passage. This is not here to frighten us. It is presented as a plain truth about the future. This will certainly happen. You will certainly be there. I will certainly be there. And this is a message of love that is revealed to us. God lovingly reveals this truth to us. And it says, this glory, my glory, is ignored at your peril, because there will be a reckoning. So what we've seen, as I close, is we've seen the glory of God displayed in the cross of Christ that is infinitely precious, incomparably noble, and ignored at our peril. And it calls out to every human heart. How could we remain untouched by this? How could we be unresponding to this? How could we return to a mechanistic, formalized kind of religion in the light of this? I pray that there would be a heart response in each of you, and indeed throughout our nation. Wouldn't that be wonderful? If this truth could be preached, how it could change our nation. What would a heart response feel like? Well, let me tell you. It would firstly feel like an internal conflict, because, of course, Satan is very active. And Satan would be saying to such a person, look, you're not going to join the God Squad. All your friends will laugh at you. You're going to become a Holy Joe? Forget it. You're going to be ostracized at school. You're going to be laughed at in your college. All your credibility is going to go. Don't go there. But the Holy Spirit will be saying to you, and his is a quieter, gentler voice, not that pushes, but that leads. This is the truth. Here is the truth. And it's a truth not just that is true, but is infinitely beautiful, that is noble beyond compare, that is worthy of your love. And so a heart response to this will be a quiet commitment to follow through. It'll be something like, I'm touched by this. There is something here that I need to follow up on. And if you look on the pews in front of you, you will see we have something called a response card. And if you want to follow up on this, we mention this frequently, we want everybody to have a chance. If you just tick the boxes that interest you and give it to me or to somebody or put it in a box at the back, we will definitely get back to you. That would be the sign of a true heart response to something that is not only true, it's embedded in history, but it's beautiful. And it is the best thing. It is the best thing for you, for your loved ones. Wouldn't it be great in future years if you could say yes, Easter Day 2018, the 1st of April 2018, that was the turning point. That was the day when I realized that the glory of God was calling me. Let's pray together. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, we thank you so much for displaying your glory in the cross of your Son. Thank you for that amazing salvation. And thank you, too, for that infinitely lovable picture of your character, your goodness, your love, your self-sacrifice, your nobility. Thank you that it shines out. Please would our hearts love that. Please would it be irresistible to our hearts. Please would it squeeze out our love for all the other things of this world. Please would you do this. Please would you move in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.